Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how are you? How are you doing? Are you in good shape? Are you fit? Healthy? Maybe we need to talk about it. There's a lot to talk about. And so to find out how healthy we really might be or might not be, because I think there's some shockers in here about our health. I was shocked, very much so, drastically so, to find out I wasn't as healthy as the role model that I was. So we're going to talk about being a role model of good health with Steve Halpern, who's been on the show before. And Steve is really a wonderful nutritional scientist. I call on him when I want to get the nitty-gritty about nutrients, supplements, food choices, all kinds of stuff, because he knows the science of it. And we might read about it. I do a lot of research. I think I know an awful lot. It's always good to know somebody who knows more. So Steve Halpern, welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Peter. Thank you so much. And, you know, that obvious question, you know, how healthy are you? You know, almost every day you read about someone who appeared in good health, and suddenly they died. Sometimes they know why, sometimes they don't know why. And I think this is because of our pharmaceutical-based diagnostic medical system that really is a disease-oriented system and really only gives lip service to health and how healthy are you and what kind. You know, one of my favorite little anecdotes is you go into the doctor, patient goes into the doctor, and has a traditional test done, the blood test and the EKG, and doctor says, you're fine. You're great. Walks out of the office and keels over and dies. And the nurse says, doctor, what should we do? Just point the patient the other way coming into the office.
And, right.
You know, so many times I've heard people say, oh, well, I had my annual physical, I've had my screen, and they don't realize how
superficial
many of the tests we use are.
Well, it's superficial testing, and because I thought I was in really good health. I had all the good heart markers. I had a very normal to low cholesterol, normal blood pressure. I was exercising regularly, eating excellently, and it didn't work. And all of a sudden, you know, I had a heart attack, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm the wrong person for this. And I didn't know what I didn't know. Certainly, I did know that my father had died at age 50 of a sudden heart attack. So people have always said all my life, why do you take such good care of yourself? And I say, because I have bad genes. But I had no idea that those genes would show up in ways that aren't standard testing ways. And so under standard tests, I was perfectly healthy. So what went wrong? And when I got out of the hospital, I was leaving the hospital, the doctor said, well, we don't know. Must have been your genes. Well, they were right. But what is it about my genes and other people's genes that are hidden, that can be found out, but not through just the standard everyday test that you get in a checkup?
Exactly right. And, you know, many tests have been designed with a solution. You do a blood sugar test, well, we have diabetes medicines for you. You have, you know, a cholesterol, we have a cholesterol medication, a statin for you. Many of these real health markers don't have a pharmaceutical, and I think that's a big issue. Now, getting to the whole gene issue, you know, there's been a revolution in this whole genomic field with the analysis of the genome, the human genome. But the next thing that happened was something called epigenetics, meaning that it wasn't just your genes. It was whether your genes are turned on or turned off. Very important. You can have a inflammation gene that's on. Can you turn it off? You can have an antioxidant gene that's making wonderful antioxidants for you. Is it on or off? Cancer genes that help kill cancer cells. Is it on or off? Well, we're learning, not yet quite there yet, but we're learning at least to look at this. Now, the exciting part is about epigenetics is an area called nutrigenomics. And nutrigenomics is how your diet and food components can turn off and turn on these genes. So we're not the victim of these genes. But you have to have a clue that functionally these genes are off. And in your case, a good hypothesis is that your antioxidant genes, which probably were on for a long time, you were able to perform at a high level, not get sick, for whatever reason, turned off. And when these protective genes turn off, we get a condition. And right. So the whole key is, how do we turn on these good genes? And how do we evaluate these genes? Okay, well, the function of genes. And, you know, one of my favorite tests now, and it's called the isoprostanes. And
okay, wait a second. Let's just stop and spell it out. Isoprostane.
Yeah, isoprostanes. Isoprostanes. These are hormonal-like compounds in the body, and there are many of them. But the most studied one is called F2 isoprostanes. And F2 isoprostanes is considered the gold standard of oxidation. Now, what is oxidation? If you leave an apple out, it turns brown. If you open up a bottle of oil that's, you know, organic, doesn't have preservatives, after a while, it's going to go bad. It's going to smell bad, taste bad, rancidity. So in a sense, these high levels of isoprostanes correlate to rancidity of fats in your body. Okay. And that's very important, because we have this whole issue, fat versus non-fat, but we don't go further. And we do see people who eat fatty diets, and they're fine. They don't see, and we see studies that show no harm. And then you see studies that show, oh, this is terrible. Well, they're missing something. They're missing the environment of the fats once you take them in. You know, specifically, we're talking about omega-6, arachidonic acid, which
all
is...
All right, so, Steve, right now there's this big push for ketogenic diets. And are people taking more fats and proteins versus carbs for their health? And for some people, as you're saying, maybe their system is switched on so that it works well that way, and other people it doesn't. Is that the point?
Right. So you have to look at the markers. See, what's happened is there's incredible confusion. If you look at nutrition, there's macro and micro. Macro is food composition. Fats, proteins, carbohydrates, maybe you can have fiber. Micro is the constituents. You know, what are all the wonderful chemicals that occur, wonderful nutrients that occur in various foods, especially plant-based foods? You know, some of them we don't even know about, and yet we see benefit. So I think the context has to be, you know, one of the founders of modern nutrition science, and who was the discoverer of more vitamins than any scientist, and only nutrition people really know who he is. His name is Dr. Roger Williams. And he died in his 90s, and for decades, not having the genomic tools, came up with a concept of nutrition biochemical individuality. Wow. How about that?
And the idea is we're all unique.
We all have a different personalized nutrition requirement. And we have nutrition genes that have evolved. So how do we, this is why there's so much confusion. You know, one diet will work for one person, one diet will work for another person, one diet won't. There are certain givens that we know. The given about high sugar intake, we understand. That's already a fact. Trans fats, which are now trying to be outlawed. I think they're outlawed in New York, and these are, you know, fake fats that have been added to oils, and we understand that. High pesticide levels, we understand it. There are certain givens. Food and dietary composition is still in its infancy, and everybody is a different proselytizer. Oh, you should eat this one. No, you should be paleo. No, you shouldn't be paleo. You should. I think when an individual, this is the hard part, and this is a difficulty in counseling. It's been one of my, you know, challenges. How do you design an individual program? You need to look at markers. You look at the basics of nutrition, and then you look at markers. You look at protein levels in the things that most doctors are not taught to look at. They're taught to look at disease markers. They're not taught to look at health markers. Okay. I'll give you a perfect example. People interested in health might already know this, but there's a factor in the blood called bilirubin. And most doctors will say that if you have, you know, a high bilirubin, that's, you know, a medical condition. Yet we see that higher levels of normal bilirubin are heart protective and can come from, you know, different dietary aspects. You know, same thing with uric acid for gout. Too low of uric acid is an antioxidant. Normal ranges or normal high ranges that aren't disease are a good thing. They're an antioxidant. So you'd want to eat foods that give you a healthy uric acid, not a very elevated uric acid. So, again, looking at markers, objective markers that are not traditionally done are very, very, very important. Like I said, the isoprostanes to measure, you know, the rancidity, the inflammation markers that measure inflammation in your arteries, you know, other sophisticated tests. I mean, for instance, B12, the standard B12 test doesn't work. It picks up the wrong things. You need a specialized B12 test to know if you have a B12 problem. So, you know, I think the issue is most traditional doctors have not been taught this. Okay. They've been taught the disease model, which is fine to have an, you have an acute condition, use the right tools. But this is a whole different set of tools to, you know, to optimize your health and realize that we need to change what we consider the normal. It's normal never to get the flu. It's normal not to have your eyesight change as you get older, or your hearing, or your brain function, or muscle loss, sarcopenia, or bent over, you know, where your spine is bent over. Those are not normal things, okay? So why do we have them? Because they're treatable conditions, yet the majority of them are totally preventable. You know, I tell, again, a great anecdote. I met Jacqueline. It's a privilege to meet Jacqueline. Did you know, this is interesting, Peter, did you know that the jumping jack was named after him?
Oh, that's interesting.
He was the first one to say, hey, come on, you know, include exercise as part of your lifestyle, and it's okay to, you know. Anyway.
Well,
many
but,
of you don't know.
But Steve Jack LaLanne lived.
But the point
yeah, he lived, and he lived old,
that,
Steve.
And,
Steve, huh? He lived to be old and healthy. And there are some people.
I met him in his 90s. He was vital. He had all his muscles. Okay, he was in great shape. Unfortunately, this is where the line of using, you know, orthodox medicine when it's appropriate. He decided to have a heart valve done that he needed done, or decided to do that he had since childhood. He wound up with pneumonia, hospital-based infection, and he wouldn't do antibiotics. Okay. You know, that was his choice. But the point is, he was in optimal health. So let's talk about optimal health. What does it mean? It means that your system is in balance, okay? That your mitochondria, your energy factories are operating optimally. That, you know, I think of a car, you know? Car works great. You're driving, you're at high speed and the thing. The car doesn't conk out until there's no oil, okay? No warning, unless you had a gauge to measure the oil, you would not know that you're going to break your car. Well, we take better care. Many people take better care of measuring things in their car and servicing their car than their bodies. Okay. And so, you know, so again, let me get back to the focus. It's important to have the right blood test done. Okay. Blood and urine test done that really measures the important things. It's important either through self-guidance or working with someone to figure out an individual program, okay, to see what, you know, using Mark to see what works for you. And using the general guidelines that we already know, you know, any search on the web will tell you. You know, I often would wonder when someone would come in and see me, you don't know what's healthy? I mean, it's obvious, okay? There's an abundance of information. The problem is we have conflicting information, and no one really sits down.
Well, we don't have enough information, Steve, and that's the problem. And so let's talk about, you know, the issue is that we're uninformed. I mean, I'm glad that you understand how we're uninformed, and that you work with your clients to be tested in ways and look for things. Fortunately, you work with a doctor who can help people through their insurance get a lot of blood tests that most doctors won't do or don't even know about. And I think that's really important because for me, for instance, if I had known that my oxidative stress level was too high in life. In other words, I'm living in a way that's not managing my antioxidants well enough to deal with oxidative stress. I had a super high isoprostein level. And so all the exercise I was doing, maybe even some of the foods I was eating, and I thought everything I was eating was healthy. I was sure it was. And for some people, of course, it is. But for me, some foods might not have been. And exercise, and certainly just day-to-day stress in life, my body wasn't handling it properly. It was the oxidative stress was creating inflammation. And the inflammation markers weren't seen. And, you know, in a sense, that's what isoprostein is. It's an inflammation marker. It's indirectly,
because what happens is free radicals damage the fat. The fat then, this hormone, this isoprostein, which is a hormone, will contribute to inflammation and damage in your arteries. Now, what's fascinating It's not only in your arteries, it's in your brain. It's a cancer.
I don't want to hear that. But anyway, what you're saying is very important, that inflammation, no matter where, how you talk about it, is really the killer. And it can cause all kinds of diseases.
Exactly right.
Not just heart disease.
Exactly right.
You can have a stroke, you can have cancer.
You need for a short period of time, you can get injury, you get some inflammation, you get an infection, you get a little inflammation. But it's when it becomes out of control. In fact, when people get an infection, it's not the infection that kills them, it's the inflammation that kills them, okay?
But they don't know the difference between infection and inflammation. What it really means is that the body is overwhelmed and it can't manage the inflammation, and the inflammation then migrates to different parts of the body that
exactly
also
right.
becomes overwhelmed. And so that's why people have spreading diseases, for instance. So
exactly right.
So now, okay. So
let's not depress
the
audience.
Steve,
there's good news. There's happiness. I don't want to get into this. You know, the happiness is we can change the gene expression. Let me give you a great example. There's one of my favorite food supplements, and again, it's a food supplement, but you can't really eat it. And it's called broccoli seed. Now, yes, broccoli sprouts are wonderful. They're a little bit problematic getting the right sprouts, growing them, taste-wise, how much you have to take. The seed is actually better, but you can't eat the seed. So the seed was specially developed, actually originally for research at Johns Hopkins for cancer, heart disease, and found that there was a chemical that the body makes from the seed. It's actually called sulforaphane, that can have enormous beneficial effects on optimizing health, and they're even working on a chemo broccoli pill drug. But the exciting part is about how does it work? It really works by maximizing liver function, where you make antioxidants. It's not so much as an antioxidant, the broccoli seed ingredient. It actually turns on our own beneficial genes. This is what's so incredible, that it will turn off cancer-supporting genes, turn on cancer-suppression genes, turn on 237 beneficial antioxidant system genes in the body. And that's been basically one of the reasons that, you know, green foods and cruciferous vegetables have been, you know, recommended and attributed to great benefit is partially this reason. The problem is, how do you know that you're getting this beneficial ingredient in the seed in your foods? You might not. Okay. And are you consuming enough? So I call this not a replacement for eating great salads and vegetables. I call it green insurance. That's what I call it.
Right. And for a number of reasons. You know, for instance. So in other words, sulforaphane is in our foods if we eat our foods properly for it.
No, it's going to be
and it's not easy to do that. So
in the foods.
Steve, broccoli seed extract is really the way to go to assure ourselves. You know, so that's really very important, and it also has to have an enzyme in it called myrosinase that makes it powerful for our bodies. So.
You got it.
That's one thing. But then there are other, we're talking about really understanding the basic foods that are fundamental to our gene expression. Uh-huh. And so much of that has to do with, of course, we know with the gut biome and having our intestines, you know, our small intestine really holding so many powerful, healthy ingredients for us. and that right. keeps on expressing itself in our genes. And then, you know, a lot of other foods that I'm eating now to assure myself of good health. We only really have a couple of minutes left. And so that's why I want to kind of get to the bottom line of what people can do. They can reach you, too. Steve Halpern, how can people find you?
Okay, a couple of ways. You can go to NutraSteve, NutraSteve, 9 at WordPress. That's my blog. You can email me at Nutra, NutraSteve, at hotmail.com. I'd be glad to answer your questions and give you some suggestions. Also, on my blog, I'm working on a podcast, and it's not quite ready yet, where I'll go into some of the details and share some of the anecdotal results that we're getting in our practice. That's really exciting because by having
because you're helping me save my life, having had, you know, this shocking condition, and now my isoprostane levels have come way down and other markers, and I'm eating much more intelligently for my particular unique genes that I was born with, that we're all different. And that's what we started off talking about, how everybody is different, and don't think that you can, you know, look at the latest diet and think that you can fit that. Maybe other people are perfect for it and you might be terrible for it. So we have a lot to think about. You and I will talk again on another show, and then, you know, and people can reach you. So I think we're, you know, we've really, you know, helped people understand that they don't know what they don't know. And,
I leave you with this message. We were made to be healthy. That's
okay,
what
so let's
do.
Get back to that. Steve Halpern, thanks so much. It's great having you on the show. And
my
this
pleasure,
is Peter Roth, your host at Energy Stew. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.